guided tour through the delicate and often overwhelming balancing act between food indulgences and social acceptance. And now, as always, here are your hosts, Rod Budget and Hugh Gallen.
Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 34 of the Hungry Dads Podcast. I'm Hugh Gallen.
I'm Rod Budget.
And tonight, we actually have Rod via satellite phone. No, not satellite phone, just regular phone, which I suppose is through some sort of satellite. He's on location doing some investigative reporting and experimentation on behalf of Hungry Dads. We'll be getting to that in a future episode, but just for now, I'll just say, how you doing, Rod?
I'm doing great. Hello out there.
Can you give us any clues as to what you're doing on your secret mission?
This is a truly covert mission. We talk a lot about covert eating. This is a covert mission. All I can say is that eating is involved, research, scientific laboratories.
With that, we'll move on with tonight's episode, and future episodes will reveal the big mystery.
Hungry Dads!
I'd like to start tonight by playing you a clip from episode 21, entitled Food Court. It's been smartly suggested that junk food could be brought to my work to share it, to get it out of the house and not waste it. There's been once or twice where I have pretended to bring food to the workplace to share, but I actually just kept it at my desk and ate it myself. The shame I feel is hopefully punishment enough. Judge Budget, I await your decision.
Hubert H. Gallen. On the offense of not getting rid of candy and just eating it all, I find you extremely guilty. This one is pretty inexcusable. There are multiple ways of getting rid of the candy. Like you said, taking it to work and actually sharing it. You sounded pretty emotional as you were confessing, so I think you know this one is bad. You were breaking up a little bit there. It's a tough, tough topic. I think you need some rehabilitation. I sentence you to 3 months in rehab, not exposed to any candies, going through withdrawals. I think you can be rehabilitated, perhaps, and then maybe you can snack responsibly throughout time and spacing it out. Until then, no candy for you.
All right. Wow, harsh sentence. For new listeners or those who may not remember, in that episode, I basically confessed to having extra candy in the house from any maybe Halloween or from a family gathering. And I confessed that I tend to just eat all this candy very quickly. I don't spread it out over time. And even worse, at the suggestion that I bring it to work to share it, I did bring it to work. And then instead of sharing it, I just kept it in my desk and ate it myself. As you heard, Judge Rod Budget in that moment laid down a ruling on me in the food court, and that ruling was that I was not to have candy for a period of 3 months. Unknown to anyone, including Judge Budget himself, I kept that sentence and I stuck to it.
Wow.
For 3 months, for the most part.
This is amazing. This is a revelation to me. I'm impressed going 3 months with little to no candy. I think it's an honorable thing that you, because that's what really you needed. Let's see if it helped you out.
Well, and I think that's the interesting thing. So first, I will say there were, and I can count it on one hand, there were, I think, 3 instances where I either cheated or forgot. And so I consider that a pretty good victory, and I don't even want to sit here and dwell on those other than just to admit to it that it did happen 3 times where I did end up eating candy. But the first thing, I'll open with this. It was suggested by you, Judge Budget, as a rehabilitation and as a way for me to learn to have control over my candy eating and to share candy with coworkers. And I guess I'll just follow up with that confession with this confession. I was pretty successful in not eating candy, but I don't think I learned that lesson. My candy hiatus occurred during Valentine's Day and Easter, both of which yielded candy to come into our house from a family care package and my child's Easter egg hunt and all kinds of stuff. That candy sat, but it sat in my house, and when the time was up, I ate it. And I ate it all, you know, relatively at my pleasure at that point. So I did keep with the order of you, Judge, but I did not really learn my lesson.
I'm picturing you, like, looking at a watch and counting down the minutes to the end of your sentence and then just binge eating, like, with chocolate all over your face, making a huge mess. Is that kind of how it went down? You feel like you binged on the candy once the sentence was up?
It wasn't quite that bad, although I'll say this. One of the instances where I ate during the time was when I very lazily miscalculated the 3 months. I kind of just started thinking it must be time, and I decided not to bother to check the actual dates, and I went ahead and had some candy.
And it was 3 days in instead of three
exactly.
months. Minor miscalculation.
And so with that, again, I guess that was me. I was chomping at the bit. For point of fact, the other time I cheated was the tail end of my juicing cleanse. For those who don't remember, I did a juicing diet for 3 full days with Mrs. Gallen, and we basically drank nothing but juices for 3 days. And the first thing I ate at the end of that juicing was actually a piece of chocolate. It was the morning of my juicing, and I got to work. I had a morning appointment, so it was mid-morning, and some chocolates were out. And it was my first chance to eat solid food, and I ate that chocolate without even thinking. And in that point, I got to say, I find it to have been justified. Even with the candy hiatus, I came off of a 3-day, you know, juice diet.
I think even with these minor slip-ups, I think that's, you know, justified, and you've still gone through basically 3 months, Andy, which is quite impressive. I'm honestly not surprised that it didn't, quote-unquote, cure you of your snacking and eating habits. Otherwise, we no longer have a podcast, essentially. So taking candy out of the house, whether it be to work or some other location, basically once you're out of the house, you're free to do what you want. I mean, in the initial episode, when I was judge, I was a little disappointed that you were drinking with your coworkers, but that's actually a pretty good covert tactic, saying you're taking a batch of food or a large amount of candy to work to share, and then just kind of storing it in your office or wherever and eating it yourself is actually not a bad tactic.
Yeah, it's not bad. It starts to really press on the edges of gluttony, and a big part of it would be how quickly I ate it. What this exercise did was not so much teach me a lesson, but taught me some new ways to do covert eating or specialized eating around the rules that were set down, which is to say, one simple outcrop of this was that I did eat no candy, essentially. So I ate less candy, but I ate more cookies. I ate more cake. I ate more ice cream. I ate more of lots of other things. In fact, I didn't weigh myself, but I actually think I gained weight through this process because depriving myself the candy kind of made me feel like it was open game on everything else. The other thing that this exercise did was force me to make some considerations. Now, we heard the ruling that you laid down at the time, and it basically said no candy for the 3-month period. And I think we know what candy is, and we've done this before on the show. We've said, well, what is a sandwich and what is a salad? And I don't really want to have that exact discussion, but I want to share with you some of the decisions I made during this period where I drew the lines of candy, and I decided that a pixie stick would be a no, but dry Kool-Aid mix would be a yes. So
have you been consuming dry Kool-Aid mix?
I don't know if you ever have Kool-Aid mix in your house. I do from time to time, and not for the kids, actually for myself. Yeah, I would. If I was making some Kool-Aid, I'd have a little spoonful of it in my mouth because it's basically the same as a pixie stick, right? Am I crazy?
I guess so. I don't think I've ever done the dry Kool-Aid, unfortunately, but yeah, I mean, it's just, if you're forgoing other candy, you're looking for any edge you can.
Would you say that was a violation of my probation?
I don't think so. Weird enough, but it's not a violation.
Okay. I decided that I could have mint-flavored gum, but not bubble gum.
I would say even bubble gum would be allowed because it's something you don't swallow, hopefully. I've never really considered gum as candy. I would think bubble gum would even be a completely
legitimate
legal workaround.
Next, I said that I could have a Tic Tac or even several Tic Tacs, mint Tic Tacs. I think I drew the line at peppermints, but I did allow myself Lifesaver mints.
Yeah, I think the more traditional mints are certainly allowed. I think if you would have migrated to like the orange and things like that, that would be questionable.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't indulge in that. And I think it would have been a slippery slope to say to myself, well, I'm allowed a mint Tic Tac because it's a mint. And an orange Tic Tac is really in the same family. So,
yeah, it sounds like you were very stringent with the rules, which is admirable. This is insane.
So next, I looked at things with candy components to them. So, for instance, I would have a chocolate chip cookie, but I would not have a cookie with M&Ms in it.
That's, again, a fair assessment. Similarly, I was thinking as you were talking, I have a milkshake, I would think. But I think once you start adding M&Ms and gummy bears to ice cream-based product, that that trade into the realm of candy.
Putting the candy on top would be a violation. And you even think a blizzard would be a violation, putting it on the inside. Am I hearing you correctly?
I think so. I mean, it gets down to the nitty-gritty. I think maybe Oreos would be okay, but I think you couldn't put M&Ms or gummy bears or anything extremely sugar-based within the ice cream.
And the good news on that is there's plenty of other non-candy options at the frozen yogurt place. Like you said, there's crushed Oreos, there's nuts of various kinds. So yeah, as much as I would normally get maybe some crushed Butterfinger, I just passed on it and went on to the crushed peanuts and really wasn't any worse for the wear. Now, just going back real quick, we pretty much said that a chocolate chip cookie would be okay. What about chocolate chips? Let's say a handful of chocolate chips from our cupboard.
I think that's unacceptable because just chocolate by itself is, I think, that's kind of inherently candy. If you think of a Hershey's Kiss, it's really just a big chocolate chip, and that's certainly candy. Chocolate bar, another word for that is a candy bar. So once you get into this whole chocolate by itself category, I think that's candy.
Yeah, I made myself some little notes here, and I wrote chocolate bar, no. I wrote chocolate chip cookie, yes, but then I wrote chocolate chips ? And I'm not sure I was ever specifically faced with chocolate chips, so I don't think I have a real world answer. Boy, I think I probably would have stayed away just to be honorable, but my truthful intellectual assessment is that chocolate chips would have been on the table. I don't think they're candy. I think they're a baking item. So in the same way I'd have been allowed a handful of flour to eat, I would have been allowed these chocolate chips.
Yeah, I guess that's one way of looking. It's a delicious baking item. But on the other hand, you might be just associating them with cookies because they're often found in cookies. But once you take them out of cookies, they're really just little chocolates.
Yeah, but they're not. I mean, they are just chocolate, but they're not a chocolate bar. Now, if in the candy aisle there were a bag of chocolate chips sold as a candy item, I think that would be contraband. But from the baking aisle, what I'd find in my cupboard next to the flour, I think that would have been on.
The snow caps would be an example of a candy that is chocolate chip with a little white dot on top, but those are in the candy aisle.
Yep, and that pushes them right over the edge.
In the baking aisle, yeah. I guess. I see your point.
Now, I hope, unsurprisingly, I went ahead and considered chocolate syrup to be acceptable in this category, and I'm not referring to it on my ice cream. I'm referring to it directly into my mouth in the absence of other chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
We don't keep chocolate syrup in the house, really, at all. But fortunate for me, my son got sick, and we had to give him medicine. And when you have to give your kid medicine, we were told chocolate milk is a good way to get them to take it. So we bought chocolate syrup during this time. And after our son got better, there was still half a bottle to help me get through this candy ban.
Yeah, it's a big break. Thank goodness your son got sick.
Very, very lucky. Another example of what I wasn't actually faced with, but an interesting philosophical question. What would you do about magic shell syrup? And just for our listeners, if you don't know what I mean by magic shell, I'm referring to the type of syrup where you put it on ice cream and it hardens into a solid chocolate. Now, it's chocolate syrup, but then it turns into chocolate on top of your ice cream.
This is definitely the greatest area. I mean, I think I would let it slide because it shows ingenuity, even though once it does harden, pretty much left with a chocolate chunk or a chocolate.
But I think if I had taken magic shell and spread it across a flat ice cream surface until it hardened and then picked it up and ate it akin to a candy bar, I think that would be against the rules.
Yes.
It would have been an interesting skating of the line, but I think at that point I've changed not only the physical property but the physical appearance to make it into essentially a candy bar. But if it takes the shape of my ice cream or gets chopped up inside my ice cream, I think it's totally legitimate.
What if you put the ice cream in your mouth and then pour the magic shell quickly enough where it still hardens on top of the ice cream before you swallow the ice cream?
I think that is one of the ways we can skate around this law. Magic shell might be one of those magical tricks when you're in a candy ban. Another workaround that I employed, in addition to the chocolate syrup, was chocolate icing. We had some chocolate icing in the freezer. Frozen chocolate icing pretty much tastes like chocolate, but in my mind, it's not candy.
Icing is delicious, even eating it by itself. I've never had it frozen. That's interesting. But yeah, I think I tend to agree with you that icing is not candy. Again, it's an add-on. It's a baking item. It's similar to your chocolate chip rationale.
Let's move quickly to trail mix. Like the cookie conversation, I said yes to trail mixes with nuts and chocolate chips in them, no to trail mixes with M&Ms in them.
Agree. I think M&Ms are obviously, and the trail mix without them is just nuts and fruit.
Tell me what you think about a marshmallow.
Yeah, I don't think marshmallow is candy, probably because I think it kind of falls into the baking category, even though, I don't know, marshmallows are strange. It's just sugar, basically. But I think marshmallows. It's kind of its own weird thing.
One of the things you find marshmallows a component of is a s'more. Now, let me ask you, Rod. A s'more made with a chocolate bar, melted in the microwave on a graham cracker with a marshmallow.
We've got to draw the line somewhere. I don't think a s'more is allowed. I think that's pretty clearly candy, even though the marshmallow and the crackers aren't. Once you add that chocolate on top and kind of put it all together in a sandwich form, it's candy, in my opinion.
Now, what if this s'more was made with chocolate chips instead of the chocolate chips melted instead of a chocolate bar melted? Does that change your opinion?
I think it might. I think in that case you have, baking items and the marshmallow and the chocolate chip. And so I think if you can balance some chocolate chips on top of the marshmallow, you melt it. I don't know. There's just something about that chocolate.
Well, I will confess here and now that I had more than one s'more during this time, and some of them were made from chocolate bars. But I was of the opinion that the candy bar-ness of the chocolate was eliminated when it melted into the s'more. And I actually made sure that it melted sufficiently to not maintain its shape. Looks like you disagree. So this might be the one place where, in the judge's eyes, I did violate my probation, but I do think it was done in good faith.
I've got to say to you, I was very impressed and somewhat proud of you even, but after hearing all these workarounds, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little less impressive once you start breaking down the fact that I was drinking chocolate syrup and eating chocolate icing. But I did stay true to the candy ban, at least in my personal integrity. The last category I want to talk to you about are chocolate-covered things. What would you say about a chocolate-covered pretzel?
No, I think almost chocolate-covered anything is going to be candy. Once you start covering things in chocolate, it's hard to get around.
Yeah, I think I agree. I didn't eat any chocolate-covered pretzels during this time. I did, however, take that icing from the freezer and dip some pretzels in it. I think I got a very similar effect to what I would have gotten from a candy, but I say I had a solid workaround there.
So I think with frozen icing, I think it might be acceptable. Maybe it's just I'm impressed with the ingenuity, but there's something about it that does not scream candy to me.
As they say, Rod, necessity is the mother of invention. So, last question. Two items we reviewed here on the Hungry Dad's website and podcast, and those two items are chocolate-covered potato chips and combos sweet pretzels with icing in them.
I think the potato chips are a candy, which sounds strange, but I think when you stray into the milk chocolate-type things covering something, that's going to be a candy. I think the combos are not a candy because it's more of an icing-type filling. And as you stated in your live review, the pretzels kind of dominate the flavor anyway. So even though you're getting some sweetness, first of all, it's an icing, which is more of a baking thing. And second of all, the pretzel dominates the flavor.
Absolutely. And I think my reviews, which were not done in contemplation of this probation, speak for themselves. As you said, for the combo sweet pretzels with icing, the pretzel was the main feature. On the other side, as you could see on my review on hungrydads.com, the review of the chocolate covered potato chips basically stated that these are not chips in any way. They're really just chocolate with some crunch in the middle. So I think to claim that that is a potato chip instead of a piece of candy would really be against the spirit of Judge Budget's ruling.
Hungry Dad.
I have for review Doritos Jacked 3D Jalapeno Pepper Jack. And I'll first mention that our listeners and users of our website might notice that Doritos has been getting a lot of attention on the show. We've reviewed the Loaded. We've reviewed their Dinomitas, which are their rolled flavors. We've reviewed their Roulette. And now we're reviewing Doritos Jacked 3D. I'm definitely a fan of Doritos, make no mistake. But I'm not going out of my way to review Doritos other than to note that Doritos tends to have the most unique innovations and experiments in chips. Most of our reviews and our conversations about food items tend to center around the promotions and the gimmicks and the unique limited time items or new items that we see.
Whether it be an actual food item or a marketing thing, we've also given a lot of airtime to the Lay's Twist Flavor Contest. So while the flavors in the contest themselves are interesting, but that's more of a marketing thing we find interesting. Whereas Doritos, I think, is more apt to just come up with unique and outrageous flavors, which lend themselves more to the taste tests and reviews. I think all these main chip players have kind of their own segment, and Doritos happens to be the outrageous, interesting flavor guy.
And I guess Doritos has been consistent in coming out with what I'm going to call gimmicks, gimmick flavors and gimmick shapes and gimmick ideas. And I don't use the word gimmick in a negative sense. I do think we have taken great joy in reviewing the very gimmicks that we see in food and in food marketing. And I tend to enjoy these gimmicks. With that, let me share with you what Doritos Jacked 3D is. It looks very little like a Doritos, but just looking at the actual...
I'm interested in the three-dimensional aspect.
It is a triangle. It's not flat like a Dorito. It is hard to describe. It is 3D, actually.
Wow.
It's dense. It's a dense triangle with holes in the middle. This is really, you know, I'm just going to say, listeners, just Google Doritos Jacked 3D so you can see for yourself. It really defies description. Not to say that it's so amazing that I can't describe it. I just literally can't describe it.
Sounds almost like an alien life form.
Boy, what is it like? It's like an arrowhead with holes in it. It's got the thickness of an arrowhead. It's got the rough size of an arrowhead. But then it's got these little squares cut through it. It looks like a fancy arrowhead. I don't know what else to say. The only flavor of Doritos Jack 3D I've seen is jalapeno pepper jack, which is a little disappointing because I think the shape has a lot of promise. It looks like it's got a lot of crunch, a lot of density to it. And I don't...
Now, are there less chips per bag than a regular Doritos? It sounds like they are indeed pretty dense.
They are dense, and there's a good number of chips. I'm not even a little bit disappointed in the number of chips in there. I'm looking at the net weight, and it's 3 1/8 ounces, which I think outweighs your standard bag of Doritos. So, and they're not big. They're not the size of a Dorito. They're dense, but they're probably half the surface area.
Wow.
As far as the size, they're a little smaller than they look like they're going to be from the bag. There's a product image on the bag that's 3 times the size of the actual Jacked. The only Jacked 3D I saw was jalapeno pepper Jack flavor, which I wish there were more options because I got nothing against jalapeno, but it's hardly my favorite. I think the jalapeno flavor that they sell on chips is probably all created and distributed by the same jalapeno flavoring plant because it all tastes the same. It's pretty true to jalapeno flavor, but then after that, there's nothing special about it. Just smelling it, this smells like every other jalapeno chip I've had, so I'm not expecting a lot from the flavor.
Dig in, I'm interested to see what it's all about.
Here we go. Doritos Jacked 3D Jalapeno Pepper Jack.
It even sounds dense.
It is. It's a big crunch, right?
Yeah.
It tastes more like a Dorito than I thought it was going to. Despite the difference in shape, it looks like the essential cornmeal that's used looks to be much the same as a Dorito. It's not as crispy as far as, a Dorito has almost a delicate crunch to it.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, have you ever had, Rod, the Fritos Twists? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yes, I've had the Twists.
What do you think of the Twists?
I enjoy the Twists. They are very dense and filling, but I enjoy them. I'm not a huge Fritos fan, but I've had the barbecue-flavored Twists, which I enjoy.
Yeah, I'm actually a big fan of the Twists because, again, I think they're dense. I think they're filling. And I think each bite gives you a lot of flavor. And I'll give the same to Doritos Jacked 3D here. Yeah, I tend to think that if these came in a spicy cheese or a barbecue flavor, I think I'd be raving about them. The jalapeno pretty much dominates, which isn't to say they're mouth fire breathing hot, but they just mostly taste like jalapeno, which is something I've had before, so I'm not impressed by the flavor.
Your initial reaction seemed a little disappointed, just in the tone of your voice, but sounds like that might be just from the flavor itself.
Yeah, if you showed me a bag of these and said it was a kicking barbecue or a sassy, spicy cheese, you'd probably have my greater attention. I think I've given a similar comment on the Doritos Dinamita, which is the tightly rolled Dorito. I think the shape was a huge win, and I think that the limitation in flavors was the huge loss. And I'll say the same thing about Doritos Jack 3D. I won't be buying another bag out of this flavor. But if you like jalapeno pepper jack flavor, you should like this chip.
Good crunching.
Hungry Dads. Visit our website at hungrydads.com. Follow us on Twitter at hungry_dads. This has been a Hungry Dads production.
www.hungrydads.com. You should check it out. Hello? You there? Hello?